Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara in studio for Brandon Peoples. He's off handling university president announcement duties this morning, so I'll be here for the rest of the hour with you. A bit of programming notes coming up. In the second half of the show, we're going to be speaking with General Perry Wiggins of the Governor's Military Council. We have a number of topics to talk about, from the National Defense Authorization Act to the situation in Ukraine. But first, we have our usual guests from the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. We have Katie Pulaski, NBAF Communications Director. Katie, thanks for calling in.
Of course. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Also, we have on the line Dr. Ken Burton, coordinator at NBAF. Dr. Burton, thanks for calling.
You bet. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. And Dr. Alfonso Calvillo, he's the NBAF director there. Dr. Calvillo, thanks for calling in as well.
Thank you, Nick. Good morning.
And I also want to note, as we go into this conversation, we usually are able to facilitate phone calls in these conversations, but due to the setup and the arrangement we have here, we won't really be able to facilitate any phone calls, given they're calling in as well. If we have two calls, we won't be able to cross the wires, and you on the line with us won't be able to hear them asking the question. So just for ease, we're not going to be taking any phone calls this morning. But since I introduced Dr. Calvillo last, we're going to talk to Alfonso a little bit first and get a little bit of a refresher about how he made his way here to Manhattan and to NBAF in the Manhattan community.
Yes, Nick, thank you very much. And again, thank you for the invitation. I joined the NBAF team in October 2019, just over 2 years ago. Previously, I was the executive director for a very similar laboratory as NBAF, but in Canada. In that position, I was managing all activities in a high containment laboratory with the BSL-2, BSL-3, and BSL-4 laboratories, where work with high consequence pathogens was performed. Very similar to what we will be doing here at NBAF. In fact, after NBAF is fully operational, these two labs will be the only labs in the Americas that will have the capability to work with livestock under BSL-4 conditions. Also, during my career, I have taken a number of assignments with several universities, such as Texas A&M, as I was the associate director for diagnostic programs in the state diagnostic laboratory over there, and in Kansas State University as a research professor. So I was here in Manhattan a few years back. I also worked with the Pan American Health Organization, which is the regional office for the Americas of the World Health Organization, or WHO, as advisor for zoonotic and emerging diseases. However, neither of these positions have been as rewarding, as challenging, and standing out a facility of this magnitude. And I'm very grateful and lucky to have the staff extremely dedicated that we have today to the mission and fully committed to stand up a state-of-the-art facility as NBAF. Thank you, Nick.
Of course, and I'm curious what some of the differences you've noticed are between your prior role in Canada coming over to the U.S. Are there any what are some of the differences you know on the professional side of things between similar labs, though I imagine there might be different regulations in place?
Yeah, I mean, in addition to the regulations, I think that NBAF has a unique capability here as having two USDA agencies working together, the Agricultural Research Service, or ARS, and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or AFES, two very, different agencies, but very complementary. And I think that that put NBAF, compared with other facilities of similar kind, in unique positions to do both diagnostics and research, training, development, veterinary countermeasures, in much better position than any other place.
And so you said you came onto the team in 2019. It's been about 2 years now, maybe a little bit over, and it's been an interesting 2 years to say the least. What's it like to handle the upkeep or the sort of installation and stand up process of such a expensive federal facility under these pandemic conditions? We've talked for months about the various approaches that you've had to take to mitigate risk and also new systems being installed. But talk a little bit about what it's been like handling the installation of the facility in these conditions.
Yeah, Nick, it takes everyone participation and commitment to stand up a facility of this kind. We have overcome many of the challenges for the past 2 years since I've been in this position. But we are very optimistic of what is ahead. As I mentioned, I'm proud of the staff that we have at NBAF. And I want to also thank the Manhattan and surrounding communities for their continuous support. We continue to develop a one and bath culture rooted in quality and safety, which will be essential for the future of Embath as we ensure team success. Also, as you can imagine, the pandemic has touched everyone, and Embath is no exception. Our Embath team has virtually onboarded more than 170 new employees since we began maximum telework in March 2020. That's about 70% of the current Embath workforce. As you can imagine, no other organization within USDA and very few across the country have faced similar challenge. For us to ensure everyone feels a part of the team, we have developed strategies to virtually engage within our teams daily. We engage regularly to weekly all-hands meetings, junior lead meetings, several committee activities, so to help us to bring together within this virtual environment. We also continue working with DHS, with the Department of Homeland Security, and the Embath operational unit leads to facilitate access to the Embath site for workflow development, scientific equipment installation, SOP development, biosafety and security emergency response plans. And finally, also we have our challenges. Our focus has been always to support the staff working at Embath. It's only because the initiative and hard work of the Embath employees that we have been able to accomplish this much in the past 2 years. Thank you.
Of course, Nick McNamara here in studio, speaking with officials from the National Bio and Agri-Defense Facility. And I do actually have one follow-up question to that. You know, you talk about bringing employees on in a virtual environment. And my girlfriend, partner of 12 years, Lauren, actually just got brought on to the Langley Center at for NASA or out in Virginia. She's working remotely out here in Kansas for that center. And I've experienced through her some of these engagement processes and to be able to kind of create a workplace environment, but it's a little difficult to do so in the virtual world. How do you feel the workplace culture is growing amid this virtual environment?
You know, it hasn't been easy, but I think that having Katie, for example, Katie Polowski in the communications team and many others within Embath that have developed kind of a virtual culture that facilitate the engagement, sharing of ideas, sharing experiences, communicating. Still, we have the ability to communicate through different video conferencing platforms that allow at least have some level of interaction between the different staff. We are now starting to face in a little bit more in-person activities, of course, with having all the preventing measures are recommended by the CDC, but we are starting that process. We believe that we cannot maintain the situation 100% virtual. We need to mix, and now as we might be able to start to move into the office space very soon, we need to start to face in some of that in-person interaction. But it's not easy.
No, not at all. And I want to get Ken and Katie involved in the conversation. I've been kind of focusing on Alfonso for quite a bit, but I'm going to move over to Ken and Katie with a question here. You know, we talked about some of the challenges Alfonso has been facing in his role there at NBAF. What are some of the challenges either of you have been dealing with in the last couple of years, and how have you been working to manage those, especially amid the pandemic and various other impacts at your operations?
Well, Nick, this is Ken. I can say that, honestly, everything has gone much better than we could have hoped for, given the circumstances that Dr. Clavijo mentioned and you've been asking about. You know, being tasked with standing up a world-class, unique research facility during a global pandemic has been probably our biggest challenge. But we've been so fortunate to have hired the leaders that we have in place with respect to our operational units. You know, we couldn't have done it without their leadership and also the dedication of the members that are actually on their team, on the teams that they lead. Those are it's the people that's been critical to our success and getting us where we are today. Keeping everything moving forward while working under those restrictions of maximum telework has been our probably primary challenge, you know, along with the hiring that Dr. Clavijo mentioned. But the collaboration between DHS, ARS, and APHIS as well as our scientific colleagues at Plum Island, have really made the current part of this phase transition into the facility a real success. And, you know, originally it was going to be kind of an all-in move in to the facility, but given some of the challenges we had associated with the pandemic, we worked it into more of a phase transition into the operational status of the facility. And so that phasing in has actually allowed our staff some additional time to write more standard operating procedures, do some more workflow analyses, complete more training, and begin to engage in this team building activities that are going to be really critical when we do become fully operational. So our MBAF staff has also been able to utilize this extra time to spend some time in the facility, to have access to the facility and familiarize themselves with the building systems and technology, actually during a time when DHS and the construction contractors were still on site. So there's been a lot of interaction between all of those teams to share information and lessons learned. So even though it's been a challenge, there's been some real positives that have come out of this.
And Katie, I imagine some of the challenges you've been facing might be similar to some of the challenges we've been facing at KMAN and other communications fields, given our similar roles in communications professions.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. I would say probably one of the biggest challenges for our communications team was really moving all of our outreach presentations and key stakeholder meetings to a virtual format when we transitioned to telework. So as you know, we know that the public and especially our local community deserves to understand the safety and security measures we take. We also know that communication about MBAS to a general and wide audience helps build support and trust. So these outreach opportunities from our perspective are absolutely essential to MBAS mission. But we also have to balance that with security and make sure that in a virtual environment, we can maintain the level of security needed to communicate this important information. And then finally, it's inevitably more challenging to keep an audience engaged when you can't see them all. And so it's easy to get distracted and multitask during a virtual meeting. So we've had to kind of, in some cases, shorten presentations just to keep folks engaged, stop and ask questions along the way, things like that. Now, all that being said, a benefit of virtual outreach is that we can reach more organizations across the country and even the world. So we've actually been able to engage with many more people this year than maybe we would have prior to the pandemic. So as we've done more virtual presentations and people have attended those, they've then asked us to come and give presentations to other groups. So that's worked out really well. And then finally, this year we've really been able to see firsthand the benefits of the extensive efforts that we've made to be open with the community about our mission. So Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate, that's building MBAS, started a lot of these communications and outreach efforts in the early days of construction, including this monthly radio show with KMAN. And so we certainly want to maintain that open communication with the community moving forward, because we've really seen the tremendous community support and it's greatly appreciated that.
It's about 9:20 here at News Radio KMAN. I think we're going to take our first break of the morning. We'll come back and wrap up our conversation with folks from the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility. General Perry Wiggins is coming up in just about 12 minutes from now. Stay tuned in Focus, News Radio KMAN.